Thank you for joining me today. This is the Life After 30 podcast, and I am your host, Joey Hernandez. I have been a personal trainer and diet coach for over 30 years. Please join me as we discuss our health, diet, weight loss, fitness, and many other topics as we move through the decades of our lives. Hey there, my friends. Good day to you, and thanks so much for tuning in to my little podcast here. I'm recording this on Friday, January 15th of 2016, but perhaps you're catching this podcast at another time during the year, and if so, please don't let that scare you off. Hang around and give it a listen. So here we are, 2 weeks into the new year, and most probably 2 weeks into your New Year's resolutions. So tell me, how's that working out for you? I'm going to bet good money, if I had money, I'd bet that a good portion of you listening to this episode of the podcast are trying really hard to stick to your plan. So let me start this podcast by telling you that I am proud and happy that you are attempting to make a lifestyle change this year. And I hope that you have success, and I hope that I can, in some small way, help you with that quest. If you've not made a New Year's resolution, hey, that's okay. No problem. I think you can still benefit from listening to the topic today. In my history of working with clients, usually just about at that 2 to 3 week mark into your new eating plan, that's when you're going to start to hit a wall. It's just about that time that your body begins to make some changes, but you have to get used to the different feeling that you will have. I hope that you followed my diet philosophy and are you eating those 5 to 6 smaller meals spread throughout the day. We've talked tons about that. And let me just insert here that I'm aware that there are discussions by some nutritionists stating that the spreading of the meals out like that it doesn't do anything. And for some reason, that's new talk in this last year or so. When I hear those kinds of things, I always think to myself, I wonder if there's any chance this person might be publishing a book at this time. Sometimes when you hear a new philosophy, it's a way of promoting book sales or websites or whatever garbage they have. I follow the tried and true eating philosophy that's existed in the diet and nutrition community literally for decades. By eating small meals spread throughout the day, you are keeping your digestion going, which speeds up your metabolism a little bit. It keeps your blood sugar levels steady, and you don't develop an insulin resistance. And very importantly, it allows you to get used to smaller portions. So the portion control that I'm always in favor of and I'm always talking about, that does become easier. And mentally, it just seems to help you knowing that if you're insatiably hungry, if you are crazy, crazy hungry, you probably only have to go a couple hours before your next small meal. But we're certainly going to talk more about that today. So if you want to hear more about my weight loss diet philosophy, please listen back to podcasts number 71 through number 73. That's where I outline the diet in detail. But whatever diet plan you're following, no matter how it's structured, there's going to be at times when, let's remove all hope here for a moment. There's going to be times, no matter what, that you will be hungry. That's just a fact. And remember back all those times that you overate and you felt you were so full that you regretted eating some of that food. We've all had those times because sometimes they're during holidays. Sometimes they're some sort of other celebration. And I guess in many cases, sometimes it's just the way that we eat. It's just our regular way of eating. Well, that slight hunger that you might feel at times when eating on a structured diet plan, that's kind of the payback for those times where you felt overstuffed. But there is another hope I want to give you here, an even better hope that things will, in fact, get better. Your body will adjust to the new food and the new time parameters. But you know, sometimes knowing that things are going to get better, sometimes that just isn't enough. Sometimes those thoughts of food become such a driving force, and you just end up having a hard time coping. What should we do during those times? What should we do when we feel like we want to bail out of the diet and just literally chow down on all that food that we've been missing? Well, my name is Joey Hernandez, and this is Hunger Attacks, the 90th episode of, and you know I love to say this, the Life After 30 podcast. So for those of you who might have missed me talking about this in previous podcasts, 37 years ago or so, before I do that, let me insert here real quickly. If you listened to a podcast a couple times ago, and I was having a panic attack over the realization that it's been 30 years since my parents had passed away and I had been on my own, and I was freaking out about that 30 years, well, I guess I should have taken an extra math class or two, because afterwards I realized it had been 40 years. 40 freaking years. I don't know how that happens. It's sometimes I forget how old I am, or sometimes I forget how to add and subtract or something. I don't know. But back 37 years ago or so, I had gained a significant amount of weight, and I was up to 230 pounds. And it wasn't a good 230 pounds. It wasn't a muscular 230 pounds. It was not a fit 230 pounds. It was a fat 230 pounds whose person, me, was eating mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese in the same meal. That's how I was being fed. I was engaged. This girl just fed me, and herself as well, both of us. And I ballooned up to a weight where I looked just awful, and I felt even more awful. And so I joined a health club, and I went to one Weight Watchers meeting. I got a copy of their diet, and I've worked with that over the years, changing it here and there to become a program that was more for muscle building and reducing body fat. That led me into personal training, and I've used that diet with my clients for over 30 years. I've had great success with it. When people adhere to it, I have great success with it. And I've had people over the years lose from 50 all the way up to just under 100 pounds. So during that time that I was modifying the Weight Watchers diet, I was doing a small amount of exercise, but I was really concentrating on having small meals spread throughout the day. And back then, we're talking right around 1980 now, I think, I wasn't sure of the amounts of food that I should be eating, and therefore what I did is I went to an extreme and I ate what certainly would be termed very small meals. Not small, very small meals. And I ended up losing 83 pounds in just under 5 months. Now, that's not at all, what I would ever suggest a person do. It was too restrictive, the meals were too ridiculously small, and back then I was 20 years old, I was active, I had a fast metabolism, and so I got through that time dieting, but it's really not the way I've ever dieted since then, and certainly it's not any way that I've ever suggested to anyone to eat, my clients or you folks. Don't eat that way. Small meals are the way to go. Don't deprive yourself. I want to pause for a second again, and I want to tell you a story. Absolutely true story. I was socializing with one of my clients a few days ago. His name's Jed. And we were talking about the TV show Doctor Who. We both watch Doctor Who, and sometimes we just like to discuss the episodes and the characters after we've seen the episodes. So there's this one character this year that I really haven't liked. It's a young girl, and her name is, and I still never get this right, but something like Ascara or something like that. And every time we've talked about her, I was always messing up her name and saying some other name that sounded like that, like Aliba, Ariba, Alaya. I had no idea what her name was. And so Jed reminded me that because this character's lived for hundreds of years, she now just goes by the name Me, as in M-E, Me. And then Jed said, and I'm really hoping I can kind of get this quote right, just call her Me. I'm sure you can remember that. After all, it's your favorite word. I thought I was going to pee myself laughing. I don't know, maybe that doesn't somehow translate as I explain it now, but I cackled for 7 minutes over the thought that he's absolutely, positively right. I constantly talk about myself. And, you know, hey, I guess that's what a podcast is for, but to talk about yourself. But do remember that listening is one of my traits that I'm working on to become a better person in 2016 so that I can possess more empathy. So I hope in years to come, people won't even think of me like that, about being so self-obsessed. And lucky you folks, I can release all my pent-up need to talk on you, my faithful listeners. But anyways, certainly when I encountered during that extreme diet, back when I was losing the 83 pounds, and also what I've certainly encountered through the years a little bit here and there, it was a touch of hunger. Like, just sometimes I just get like a little bit of hunger, but I did feel that I can control it. But now that I'm in my, I guess you have to probably say late 50s, 57, late 50s, I guess, I now encounter and feel literal what I can call hunger attacks. And believe me, it ain't no fun. So I don't want you to let anyone tell you that these food attacks are not real. Don't let anyone tell you that it's just lack of self-discipline, that you don't have the willpower. A fair amount of your ability to not give in to these attacks is, of course, always going to be related to self-discipline. But it's a learned experience. Just like any other tool used for a behavioral modification, willpower is something that is slowly built up and can be based on other factors. You'll find that as you continue with your diet, as your stomach shrinks, as you begin to see the fruits of your labor finally showing up in your body, that those automatically help sustain and even grow your ability to stay on course with your food. But in these very first few weeks, you don't yet see those changes occurring in your body. And sometimes the process your body's going through seems to be the opposite of what you're looking for it to do. And therefore, it can affect you negatively in a psychological way. The main blog for this podcast and the address is thehumanconstructionsite.blogspot.com. If you go back to the post that was done in 2011, it's called The Phases of Losing Fat, Why Jiggly Isn't So Bad. That's the most popular entry in my blog. Even today, 4 years later, it's the most wide-read post. If you go back to that, it's going to outline the process your body goes through as it breaks down fat. And it talks about this phase of when your fat becomes kind of like jello, loose and shaky. And it might help you understand as you go through this process that those changes, these things that just seem like they're counterproductive to what your overall goal is, that they're actually signs that you're moving in the right direction. And sometimes just knowing that helps you psychologically as well. But let's get back to that immediate feeling of hunger that's overtaking you. And you know, let me start this by saying sometimes my ideas and solutions, I've been told, seem to be very simplistic to people. And I've mentioned before in other podcasts how the fitness and weight loss professionals these days, they just seem to want it to come across as this super, super complex science that the average person can't understand. And that's why, of course, you have to go to these professionals. You have to go to the nutritionists. You have to go for these elite personal trainers because you're supposed to not be able to understand it yourself, be able to pick it apart yourself. And I've always said that, yeah, you know, it's a complex science for elite athleticism, but for the average Joe, for the average woman who's a mother and wife, those complex issues step outside of what you really need to be concentrating on. Sometimes we get so caught up with the intricacies of something that the greater picture, if we looked at it, the greater picture is far more simplistic, and that's easier to look at and easier to deal with. There are three things that I use as tools when I am voraciously hungry and I'm about to eat my arm, and I know that I've eaten the amount of food that I should up to that point, and I don't want to go any further to add in more calories. These are the three things that I tend to look to. Now, the first thing is something that I've talked about before that I've been striving to do to increase for the last 6 months, and that's my intake of water. Now, it's shown in studies that we're taking in far less water than what we need for optimum health. And I've mentioned that I saw an interesting video, I think it was sometime in this last year, maybe the beginning of 2015 or so, and it was about a woman in her 20s who thought she'd see what drinking a gallon of water per day would do for her. And after 30 days, she saw a great improvement in her skin. She saw less lines on her face. She saw a great improvement because some of the weight that she had had began to fall off on its own, and she was eating less, and the overall hydration really proved to be something that was excellent for her, and at least in her case it was. And so I've been striving to do that myself. I've been trying to up my water intake, and I've seen some good results from that. But whatever your intake of water is, we know that water is something that can give you a filling up benefit. I want you to check with your physician to determine if you are not consuming enough water. Let your doctor and you together make that decision. And do that before you change whatever amount of water you've been drinking on a regular basis, before you change that too drastically. But so the first thing I do before every single meal is to have a large glass of water. And then I wait 10 to 15 minutes before I eat my meal. That has resulted in me eating less. And so this first tool is that I have an additional, very large glass of water when hunger is hitting me. And I then wait 15 to 20 minutes and then evaluate again if my hunger is still there. And honestly, most of the time it's not. And it's certainly not in a physical way. It may not have resolved my psychological need, but it does calm my physical need. And so I work off of that. So water, as simplistic as it sounds, that's been a very good way for me to control my freakouts. And that's the first thing that I would suggest that you try. Now, when water has failed, for whatever reason, I tend to think, okay, now it's time to pull out the big guns. And for me, I think about a time many years ago, it was probably around 1980, right around the same time I was starting to play with the diet. I went to an AA meeting with a friend. And I don't know if you're familiar with the AA philosophy and how all that works, but most of us have heard the famous phrase, one day at a time. Well, in AA, for people they're really, really struggling, they then take the one day at a time even further and break it down to literally 1 hour at a time. And if 1 hour is too much, they break it down to 15 minutes or 5 minutes. If I can just get through the next 15 minutes without, in their case, drinking, or in our case, eating, then we evaluate again. But The point of doing that is to allow yourself to build up some self-control. So if you're crazy hungry, wait 1 hour and then rethink whether or not you really need to eat. Again, if it's something that's just so overpowering, break it down even more. Okay, so I'm going to wait 15 minutes and then reassess whether or not I need to eat. And continue to break it down to 5 minutes, to 1 minute. Even in AA, they say, just try to go for 1 minute. And break it down as much as you need to. This just doesn't allow you to build up some confidence in your ability to say no, but it allows for the slowing down of the consumption of food. And it allows you to think that maybe now you feel like you don't need to eat because your food is digested and you feel a little more full. Consider using that tool. It can be used with anything really in life that you feel you don't have the ability to manage your control with. Just try to give it time. How long can you go before you need to do it? And lastly, quite honestly, if all else fails, if I've had so much water that I'm probably about to float away, and so much time has passed that I just can't talk myself into another delay, when worse comes to worse, because it's usually, for me, it's usually late at night when this happens, quite honestly, I just go to bed. And I tell myself, and this is really important to me psychologically, is I tell myself, okay, I just have to go to sleep, close my eyes, and when I open my eyes in the morning, the very, very first thing I can do is eat. So I literally, I sleep through until I can have another meal. I do that when I really, really have to. Is it the best approach by just telling myself to sleep through it? Of course not. But it will get me through that particular night, and then it's going to allow me to use those other tools next time it happens, and over the course of repetition, it does become much easier and usually results in just the water being enough to curb my appetite. I just use that sleeping thing as an emergency bailout. Hunger attacks are very, very real. You'll have them no matter what length of diet you pursue, so having an arsenal of well-practiced ways to circumvent your psychological need to eat can be really, really helpful. And let's be clear about that, that it is primarily a psychological need. You really aren't truly hungry unless you ate your last meal so quickly that your body just hasn't had time to register it in you yet. So the slower you can eat, it's certainly always going to be suggested. Just eat slowly. Again, use all your senses. I've talked about that before. When you do eat, make sure that you are present for what you're doing. Don't sit in front of the television and just eat or read the paper and eat. Make the eating the activity that you're doing. Close off all other stimulus except maybe conversation. And sit and take it in with all of your senses. Look at the food that you're eating. Smell the food that you're eating. Taste it. Try to taste every little ingredient that you know is in that food. Make yourself present so that you are aware, okay, I am now consuming food. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I need. This is what I enjoy. And then you'll be able to go a little bit longer before you have to do that again. In a lot of cases. Expect in these next couple of weeks, if you're either following my diet or whatever one you're on your own as your New Year's resolution, be aware that these things are in fact going to come up. Expect them. Don't get angry with yourself or panic. It's not because you're a weak person. And really hear that. It's not because you are a weak person. It's your body adjusting to the timing and the lesser amounts of food at each of these given meals. Because the meals are spread out, they're smaller, you're not taking in so much food at one time, and your body needs some time to adjust to that. But it will get easier. Your stomach will shrink, and you'll feel better, you'll look better, and therefore that is going to be a driving force that you can successfully use to continue through more weeks of your revitalized and healthier, right? Healthier eating plan. This has been the 90th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. I'd love you to join me each week, so hit that little subscribe button. I'd love you to join me each week, and you'll be notified as new episodes come out. Please send any comments or questions to my email address. And that email address is lifeafter30podcast@gmail.com. I look forward to speaking to you folks again very shortly. As always, my disclaimer follows, so please give it a listen if you haven't had the chance to hear it previously. My best to you. Keep dieting. Thanks for joining me today. Bye for now. See ya. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.